Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. I pray that you are all in the best of health and iman. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. We will send out the recitation practice, the tajweed practice, for you guys soon, inshallah. For now, we are going to begin the class with word meanings and tafsir. For today, word meanings and the explanation, inshallah. Okay, and you will all receive the recording of the tajweed part in your groups, inshallah, very soon. Jazakumullahu khair. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihi al-kareem amma ba'd. Fa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Rabbi shrahli sadri. وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي وَاحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً مِّن لِّسَانِي يَفْقَهُوا قَوْلِي رَبِّ زِدْنَا عِلْمًا اللَّهُمَّ فَقِّهْنَا فِي الدِّينِ اللَّهُمَّ إِنَّا نَسْأَلُكَ عِلْمًا نَّافِعًا وَعَمَلًا مُّتَقَبَّلًا وَرِزْقًا طَيِّبًا اللَّهُمَّ انفَعْنَا بِمَا عَلَّمْتَنَا وَعَلِّمْنَا مَا يَنفَعُنَا وَزِدْنَا عِلْمًا آمين يا رب العالمين. And inshallah, we're going to cover ayat 75 to 84 of Surah Al-An'am. We'll begin with the word meanings, and then we'll move on to the tafsir. And again, you will receive the tajweed in your groups later on, inshallah. Just 1 minute. Okay, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Ayah number 75. Wa and kadhalika, likewise, nuri, we show. Ra'a is the root word, and that means to look at something, and the nu in the beginning means we. So nuri, we show, and the we refers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibrahim alayhi salam, malakut, kingdoms. This is plural, the plural form. So malakut is kingdoms. As-samawati, the heavens or skies. Wal-arudi, wa and al-arudi, the earth. Wa and liyakuna. Kun is the root word, and that means to be. Li in the beginning means so that. Yakuna, it is or it becomes. Or he becomes, actually. Okay, so the ya refers to Ibrahim alayhi salam. It's in the third person. So, wali yakuna wa and li. So, yakuna, he becomes min from al-muqineen, those who believe with certainty. Okay, this comes from the word yaqeen, which means certainty, and muqin would mean somebody who is certain. Okay, who believes with conviction. And ina ending makes this word plural. So al-muqineen, those who believe with conviction or certainty. Falamma, fa, so, lamma, when, janna, covered, alayhi, alay, upon, he, him, al-layl, the night, ra'a, he saw, kawkaba, a star, qala, he said, hadha, this is Rabbi, my Lord. Falamma, fa, then, lamma, when, afala, it disappeared, or it said. Qala, he said, la, not, uhibbu, I love. Hubban is the root word, and that means love. U in the beginning means I. So, uhibbu, I love, al-afilin, those who disappear. Falamma, fa, so, lamma, when, ra'a, he saw, al-qamara, the moon, bazighan, rising, قال, he said, هذا, this is ربي, my Lord. فلما, for then, لما, when, أفلا, it said, or disappeared. قال, he said, لا إن, لا, surely, إن, if, لم, did not, يهديني, يهدي, he guides. هدى is the root word, which means guidance. Yeah, in the beginning tells us that this word is in the third person. So يهدي, he guides, ني, me, ربي, رب, means Lord, creator, master. Yeah, at the end means mine. So ربي, my Lord, لا أكونن, لا, surely, أ, means I, and then كن means to be. And then the نون مشدد at the end adds more emphasis to whatever is being said. So لا أكونن means surely, I will definitely be, من, from, القوم, the people, الضالين, those who go astray. فلما, فاسو, لما, when, رأى, he saw, الشمس, the sun, بازغتن, rising, قال, he said, هذا, this is ربي, my Lord. هذا, this أكبر, is biggest. Alif in the beginning exaggerates whatever is being said. So أكبر is the biggest. فلما, فَا then, لما, when, أفلت, it set, or it disappeared. قال, he said, يا قومي, يا, أو, قوم, means people or nation. And the kasra underneath the meme at the end means my. Okay, so يا قومي, أو, my people. إني, إنّا means indeed, and then the يا at the end means I. So إني, indeed I, بريءٌ, am absolved or free of responsibility. مِمَّا, مِن, from, مَا, what, or of what. تُشْرِكُونَ, you all do shirk. Shirk is the root word, and that means to associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Da in the beginning means you, and una ending makes this word plural. So mimma, from what, tushrikun, you all commit shirk or associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inni, inni, indeed, and the ya at the end means I. Wajjahtu, I have faced. Wajjahia, my face. So wajjah means faced or turned. Tu in the end means I. Okay, wajjahia. Wajh means face, ya at the end in the second word means mine. So wajhiya, my face. Lilladhi, li, for, alladhi, the one who, fatara, he created, as-samawat, the skies or the heavens, wal-ardi, and the earth, hanifan, unswerving, one track, inclining towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa, and, ma, not, ana, I am, min, from, al-mushrikeen, those who associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who commit shirk. Wa, and, hajahu, haja, argued or disputed, who, with him, qawmuhu, qawm, people or nation, who, his. Qala, he said, atuhajuni. In the beginning is used for asking a question. So do, tuhaju, haja, the root word means to argue. Tu in the beginning means you. So tuhaju, you all argue or dispute, ni, with me, fi, in, or concerning, Allahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa, while, qad, in fact, hadani, he guided me. Hada comes from the word huda, which means guidance. So hada, he guided, ni, me. Wa, and, la, not, akhafu, I fear. Khof is the root word, and that means fear. I in the beginning means I. Akhafu, I fear, ma, what, tushrikuna. You all commit shirk, or you all associate partners with Allah. Be with he, him, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, illa, except, un, that, yasha'u, he wills. Sha'a means to will. Ya in the beginning tells us this word is in the third person, so it means he, yasha'a, he wills, rabbi, my lord, shay'an, anything, wasi'a, encompasses, he encompasses, rabbi, my lord, kulla, all, or every, shay'in, things, ilma, in knowledge, afala, a, is used to ask a question. In the beginning, whenever we see a, it's usually meant to ask a question. So a means do, fa, then, la, not. So afala, do then not, tatadhakkarun, you all take heed, dhikr, means to remember, right? That's the root word. And ta in the beginning means you. Una ending makes the word plural. So it means all of you do dhikr, meaning all of you will remember or take heed. Wa and kaifa, how. Akhafu, I shall fear. Khof again is the root word. Alif in the beginning here means I. So akhafu, I shall fear. Ma, what. Ashraktum, ashrak, do shirk or associate partners. Tum, all of you. Wa and la, not. Takhafuna. Khof is the root word. Da in the beginning means you, and una ending makes this word plural. So this is a verb. So la takhafuna, not you all fear. Annakum. Anna, indeed, kum, all of you. Ashraktum. Ashrak, have done shirk. Have associated partners, tum, all of you, billahi, be with Allahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ma, what, lam, did not, yunazil, he sends down. Nazala means to send down. You in the beginning tells us this word is in the third person. So it means he, yunazil, he sends down, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down. Be with he in alaykum, alay, upon kum, all of you, sultanan, any authority. Fa ayyu, fa so, ayyu, which. Al fariqaini, of the two groups. Al means the, fariq means a party or a group. Aini at the end means this is dual. Okay, refers to two things. So, fariqaini, two groups. Ahakku is more rightful. Haqq means to have the right, to deserve. Alif in the beginning adds more emphasis to whatever is being said. So, ahakku is more deserving or more rightful. Bil amn, be of al the amn. Amni means peace or security. In if kuntum, kun, are, tum, all of you, ta'lamun, you all know. Ilm is the root word and that means to know. Da in the beginning means you. And una ending makes this word plural. So ta'lamun, you all know. Alladhina, those who, amanu, they believed. Wa and lam, did not. Yalbisu, they clothe or mix up or they confuse. Libas is the root word here, and we've covered this word before. It actually means garments, right? But whenever it comes to ayat or signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the iman, it means to mix up, to cover up, to confuse, okay, the haq with falsehood. So yalbisu, ya in the beginning tells us this word is in the third person, and waw alif in the end of this verb means this is plural. So walam and did not, yalbisu, they clothe or mix or confuse. Imanahum, iman means belief. Hum, theirs. Be with zulmin, injustice. Ulaika, those. La, for whom, them. Al amnu. Al means the amnu, security or peace. Wa and hum, they, muhtadun, are ones who are guided. Huda is the root word and that means guidance. Mim in the beginning tells us that this word is a noun. So muhtad means somebody who is guided, and una ending makes this word plural. So muhtadun are ones who are guided, or ones who obtain guidance. Wa and tilka, that. Hujjatuna, hujja, argument. Na, ours, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's. Ataynaha, atay, gave. Na, we, ha, it. Ibrahima, to Ibrahim alayhi islam. Ala, against. Qawmihi, qawm, nation or people, he, his. Narfa'u, we raise. Rafa'a means to elevate, to raise. Noon in the beginning means we, and it refers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says, Narfa'u, we raise. Darajat, daraja means a rank. Okay, and the time of Duha at the end tells us that this is the plural form of daraja. So darajat, ranks or degrees. So we raise in degrees, man, whoever, nasha'u, we will. Inna, indeed, rabbaka, rabb, lord, master, creator, sustainer, ka, yours, hakim, is always all wise. This is an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and alim, always all-knowing. This is another attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And both of these words come from, hakim comes from hikmah, which means wisdom. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is hakim. He's always all-wise. And alim comes from ilm, which means knowledge. So alim means one, always all-knowing. Wa wahabna, wa and wahab. Wahab means gifted or bestowed. Na, we. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, and we gifted. La, for, who, him, Ishaqa, Ishaq alayhi islam, wa and Yaquba, Yaqub alayhi islam, kullan, all of them, hadayna, huda, again is the root word, and haday means this is a verb. Okay, it's the act of guiding. Na means we. So hadayna, we guided. Wa and Nuhan, Nuh alayhi islam, hadayna, we guided. Min qabl, min, from, qabl, before. Wa and min, from, dhurriyatihi, dhurriyah means offspring or children. He, his. Dawuda, Dawud alayhi islam, wa and Sulaymana, Sulaiman alayhi islam, wa and Ayuba, Ayub alayhi islam, wa and Yusufa, Yusuf alayhi islam, wa and Musa, Musa alayhi islam, wa and Haruna, Harun alayhi islam, wa and Kadhalika, likewise, Najizi, we reward. Jaza is the root word, and that means to reward. Noon in the beginning means we, which refers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here. So najizi, we reward, al-muhsineen, those who do ihsan. That's the root word, ihsan, and that means utmost good. To do something in the best possible way. And muhsin, adding a meme to the beginning, makes this word a noun. So that means somebody who does something to the level of ihsan. And ina ending makes that word plural. So al-muhsineen, those who do utmost good, those who do benevolence. Alhamdulillah. Now we'll start with the tafsir of these ayat, inshallah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. وَكَذَلِكَ نُرِي إِبْرَاهِيمَ مَلَكُوتَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And we showed Ibrahim alayhi salam the kingdom of the heavens and the earth. وَلِيَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُوقِنِينَ. And so that he becomes one of the firm believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed Ibrahim alayhi salam his signs from nature so that he could believe with certainty. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed Ibrahim alayhi salam signs of his kingdom. Okay, there are signs of his kingdom that he showed Ibrahim alayhi salam, and he showed him miracles. And he makes prophets witness things that normal people like us don't. And that's because he wants them to believe the haqq with conviction. He wants them to be sure in their belief, so they can convey the message to other people. Because if they're not sure of the message themselves, if they're not sure that it's actually true, then it wouldn't have been easy for them to convey that message to others. But they understood it's very important because they were so sure. So they did convey the message to others. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows them miracles that normal people don't see, so that they have haqqul yaqeen or aynul yaqeen. So they are certain after having seen with their own eyes. And then it's easier for them to pass on his message to others. It says in Tafsir al-Tabari that Mujahid states that the skies were opened for Ibrahim alayhi salam, and they opened until he even saw the arsh, subhanAllah. Then the seven layers of the earth were opened and shown to him. And other similar things are mentioned. Wallahu alam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, but the tafsir gives us an idea of what sort of things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Ibrahim alayhi salam witness. And why did that happen? So he would be sure. So he would have aynul yaqeen. And there's a difference between having ilmul yaqeen and aynul yaqeen. Ilmul yaqeen is to have studied it and, you know, to have knowledge of it and then believe with certainty. But aynul yaqeen means to have seen it with their own eyes. So then there's no doubt left whatsoever. And this is what happened when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did Miraj, when he ascended to the skies, where he was taken on the nightly journey. Remember, during the nightly journey, he ascended to the skies, the heavens. That was aynul yaqeen, because he saw everything with his own eyes. Imam Ibn Jarir said the word malakut in this ayah means that Ibrahim alayhi salam was shown the mulk, or kingdom, of the skies and the earth, along with whatever was created in both of them, whatever had been created by Allah and exists in the sky and the earth. And all these matters were made apparent to him, so he would believe with certainty. He would be sure, because only then he would be able to tell others about the haqq, okay, the true message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are different levels of certainty. Okay, there's ilmul yaqeen, which is knowledge of knowledge that leads to being certain, being sure, and then aynul yaqeen, which is to be sure after having seen it with your own eyes, and then there is haqqul yaqeen. Ilmul yaqeen is the first step. Aynul yaqeen is having witnessed it and being sure. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed Ibrahim alayhi salam his malakut. فَلَمَّا جَنَّ عَلَيْهِ اللَّيْلَهُ. Okay, I'm sorry. أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. فَلَمَّا جَنَّ عَلَيْهِ اللَّيْلُ رَأَى كَوْكَبًا. Then when the night drew its shadows over him, he saw كَوْكَبًا, meaning a star. This is related to what we learned last time about how his people were committing shirk. We learned that already, right? How his father and everyone around him were involved in shirk. They all associated partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They even believed in the stars, okay? And they thought they were so honorable. They also worship the moon, the sun, and the angels. If you ask someone who worships idols made of stone why they do it, they say they're not worshiping them. and they tell you that they're worshiping someone the idol represents. They make an idol of stone to bring physical form to the person. And then they worship that person when they are worshiping that idol. That's the point of them making that idol. This is how it was for the people of the former times too, who worshiped the angels. Obviously, they hadn't seen the angels, but they made statues of angels using their imagination. So similarly, people who worshipped the moon and sun also made statues of them. They believed that they were worshipping the sun and moons when they did that. And today, people act like that when they believe in the horoscope. And they think that the stars actually influence their lives. Anyway, some Israeli narrations explain that the king, Namrud, had a dream that told him that a baby would be born who would make his rule come to an end. Okay, so that baby in his dream would put his rule to an end. We don't know how authentic the Israeli narrations are, but they say that when Ibrahim alayhis salam was born, his father left him in a cave, and his mother had raised him in that cave. Okay, they did that to protect him. And when he grew up and came out, he debated with his people. Anyway, we learned that his people worshipped the moon, the sun, and the stars. That's why he had a debate with them. He argued with them. First, he asked his father why he worshipped idols. His father and all the rest of the people thought that they had taken the idols as intercessors for them before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They thought they would intercede for them before Allah. They didn't think that they were capable of or worthy of worshipping Allah because they were so sinful, so they couldn't worship Him directly. That's what they believed. And they thought they weren't good enough to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly for whatever they needed. So they thought they had to take idols as intercessors, and then they would be a way to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they would be their wasila, their connection to Allah. They believed that those idols would ask Allah to fulfill their needs after they worshipped and pleased those idols. And they thought the idols were pure. Okay, according to them, they were pure. They were sin-free. So they thought that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might actually listen to them, because they were not able to connect to Him directly because they were so sinful. Astaghfirullah. So that's what they believed. Okay, even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us straight out that we're supposed to connect to Him directly. And this is exactly the same mistake many Muslims believe, and the same mistake they make now. A lot of times when they get caught up in shirk, they don't make actual statues, but they believe that pious people or saints who have passed away already will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fulfill their needs, because they themselves are not capable of reaching Him directly since they're so sinful. That's what people of the past used to think. And that's why they took angels as intercessors, because they thought the angels were pure. They're sin-free, right? So they believed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would actually listen to them if they interceded on their behalf. These are all different ways that shaitan tricks people into committing shirk. Okay, so they think, oh, we're not doing anything wrong. We are worshipping Allah, but we're too bad, like we're so sinful to reach out to Him directly. He's not going to listen to us because He's upset with us. So these pure beings are going to connect us to Him. Astaghfirullah. That's how shaitan tricks people. So Ibrahim alayhis salam saw a star and he said, "Qala hadha Rabbi." He said, "This is my Lord." Now, when he says, "Qala hadha Rabbi," when he says, "Hadha Rabbi," this is my Lord, he wasn't actually looking for God and thinking that the star could actually be his God. He knew better. That's not what this means. Okay? Ibrahim alayhis salam already knew about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he knew that He was the only ilah. as he clarified already in the last ayah for all of us. And he said that he showed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he showed Ibrahim alayhi salam signs. So Ibrahim alayhi salam was certain about it. But the reason why Ibrahim alayhi salam says hadha rabbi is because he wants people to think about what they believe so they come back to their senses. He wants them to realize that their beliefs don't even make sense. This is his way of trying to make them use their intellect, trying to wake them up. Falamma afala. So when it set, when the stars set, he said to his people, قَالَ لَا أُحِبُّ الْآفِلِينَ. He said, I do not love those who reveal themselves and then hide. This means that he wouldn't like to worship a god that fades away. So the star faded, so how could it be God? That was his way of presenting an argument against his people to try to prove to them that anything that disappears could not be worshipped, even if it looks pretty and it's high up in the sky and it looks powerful. So this is what he meant when he spoke to them and he said he doesn't like those who disappear. When he said, لَا أُحِبُّ الْآفِلِينَ, or he doesn't like those who come to an end to be his God. And the star disappearing basically came to an end. Even though everyone kept thinking it's so great, it disappeared. So we can apply this to people as well. If we think about people who worship other people, they have all died, or they are going to die. Right? They think, oh, they're so great, or they're so noble or honorable, so let's just worship them. Astaghfirullah. But they're going to die, or they already have. So how could they be God? They died and they were buried under the earth. Even the prophets were buried. So even the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ones close to him, like saints and religious people, they all die. There's no way they could be worthy of worship. Even when Isa alayhi salam comes back to this life, he's going to die. He's going to pass away eventually, right? So they are not worthy of worship. فَلَمَّا رَأَى الْقَمَرَ بَازِغًا. Afterwards, he saw the moon shining. قَالَ هَذَا رَبِّي. He said, this is my Lord. He says this to be able to present an argument against this point. Okay, to try to prove to his people that the moon could not be God. فَلَمَّا أَفَلَ. Then when it disappeared, so the moon also set. It went away. قَالَ. He said, لَإِن لَمْ يَهْدِنِي. Surely if my Lord does not guide me, لَأَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الضَّالِينَ. I shall certainly become one of those who go astray. This means that he knew about guidance and going astray. Right? He knew the difference between guidance and the wrong path. Because he says to his people that he would have gone astray if his Lord had not guided him. So he isn't just finding out about what guidance is at that point. He is just saying these things to try to guide other people around him. He makes them think that the star and the moon set because they can't avoid having to set. They can't go against the rules that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set for them. They have no control over what happens, or they wouldn't disappear, right? So how could they be God? It's the same with kings in this life. Powerful rulers who think that they can do whatever they want, right? But then they eventually have to step down or they die. They can't do anything to escape death. As for the moon and stars, they follow the path Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directed them to follow. Precisely. Exactly as He wants, they follow that path. And exactly at the pace that He specified for them to follow. They are not free to move whichever way they want or choose when to set or appear. So how could they be God? Obviously, there's a God who controls all of them. The ones following those orders could not be God. فَلَمَّا رَأَ الشَّمْسَ بَازِغَةً. Then, when he saw the sun with its brighter shine, قال هذا ربي أكبر. He said, this must be my Lord. It is larger than the other two. It's shining so brightly. So he says this to be able to prove to them afterwards that the sun wasn't God either. فَلَمَّا أَفَلَتْ But when it also said, قَالَ He exclaimed, يَا قَوْمِ إِنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِمَّا تُشْرِكُونَ Oh my people, I am done with your shirk. I am free of responsibility from you associating partners with Allah. So he was saying all the things in the past few ayat to be able to explain to his people that the star and the moon and sun could not be God. He meant that they should understand that they shouldn't be committing shirk with Allah after hearing all this. إني وجهت وجهي للذي فطر السماوات والأرض حنيفا. Indeed, I turn my face, being upright, to him who has created the heavens and the earth. Some people read this when they begin their salah. Okay, when they begin their prayer, they say, إني وجهت وجهي للذي فطر السماوات والأرض حنيفا. They think it's something they should recite when they begin their prayer. But there's no hadith that mentions that this should be done. But this is what Ibrahim alayhi salam had said to his people. He told them that he turned his face to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards Allah. He says that Allah is the one who created the skies and the earth. And of course, everything that's within them is a part of them too. So the stars, the sun and moon, they worshipped are a part of the sky that he created. He makes it clear that he worships the one and only God who created all these things. Okay, he worships the creator, not the actual things that are just his creation. He said that he faced Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only, unswerving. He's just focused on him. وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ And I am not from those who associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibrahim alayhi salam clearly declared at that point that he only worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the other things they worshipped were not worthy of worship. They were not gods. This is also a message for the mushrikeen of Makkah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarified that their forefather, Ibrahim alayhi salam, only believed in Allah. He believed in one God. They claimed to be following Ibrahim alayhi salam, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them that these are the things Ibrahim alayhi salam had said to his people who committed shirk. Okay, he absolved himself from the shirk they were committing. He was not a mushrik. The word hanifan means to be upright, one track, to incline towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is a great blessing, to be Hanif. Now we should ask ourselves, are we Hanif? How can we figure out if we are Hanif? So we should ask ourselves questions like this. Okay, we should bring up questions like this, like Ibrahim alayhi salam did, to try to convince his people that they were wrong in committing shirk. Asking questions is a part of educating or teaching others, as well as ourselves. When we present counter-arguments against whatever doesn't make sense, the way Ibrahim alayhi salam did, we're actually learning a lot from that. We're teaching others a lot too then. He taught them something that was so easy to understand. It was common sense. And he taught them in such a simple way. He said, oh, this must be my Lord. He knew it wasn't his Lord, the sun, the moon, or the star. And then he says, oh, how could this be my Lord? It disappeared, right? And now that's how we should ask questions, okay? Sometimes to be able to prove things, to be able to reason with others. Now, back to what we were asking ourselves. Are we Hanif? The word Hanif refers to someone who turns their face only towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they never turn away. No matter what situation they're in any circumstances, no matter what happens, no matter what others suggest, do we only turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to invoke Him for our needs? Or do we do things that involve shirk, believing that we can turn to others as needed when we're really desperate, as if they can help us when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, na'udhu billah, isn't? This is not being hanif. If we submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and don't turn to anyone else but Him for our needs, no matter what the situation, then we are hanif. That's how we would be hanif. Because once we turn our face towards Him, we should never turn away from Him. That is what it's like to be unswerving, to be one track, like Ibrahim alayhi salam was. We declare that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only ilah. So we don't even need to look another way. Because if we act that way and we don't look at others to fulfill our needs, it means that we are hanif. But many times people don't get what they want when they make dua for it. Then they start turning to others as if they can help. But it doesn't even make sense to do that. Because we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who can grant us what we need or what we want, and He's the only one who can withhold it. So, and if He chooses to grant us something, there's nobody or nothing that can get in the way. Okay, nothing can stop us. And then if He chooses to withhold something from us, nobody can give it to us. We must remain steadfast. Focus on only asking Him, whether He grants us what we want or not. Okay, just ask Him. That was how Ibrahim alayhi salam was. He was hanifan, as he told his people that he was not one of the mushrikeen. Lahajjahu qawmuhu, and his people started arguing with him. They disputed with him. Instead of listening to what he had to say and thinking about it sensibly, they tried to argue with him, and they tried to prove that he was wrong. They presented excuses and arguments to try to prove that they were right in worshipping idols. And they wanted him to stop saying what he told them and just do whatever they did. So Ibrahim alayhi salam said to them, قَالَ أَتُحَاجُّونِي فِي اللَّهِ. He said, do you argue with me about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Be sensible. Why would you do that? وَقَدْ هَدَانِي, whereas He Himself has guided me. Why would I ignore His guidance and listen to you when He has guided me? وَلَا أَخَافُ مَا تُشْرِكُونَ بِهِ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ رَبِّي شَيْئًا. And I do not fear those whom you take for gods besides Him. None can harm me unless my Lord so wills. Now, why did he say that he wasn't afraid of their idols? Because when people commit shirk, they always claim that their idols would curse the person who speaks against them, that they would bring misfortune to that person or destroy that person. And they do that because they can't present a valid argument against the other person when he tells them that they're wrong to worship idols. So they try to threaten them. They try to scare them. So when they tried to warn Ibrahim alayhi salam that the idols would punish him somehow, he responded by saying, I am not afraid of them. But if Allah has decreed harm for me somehow, then that's bound to happen. That will only happen if Allah wants to test me with something bad. When He wants something to happen to me. But I'm not afraid of these idols. They can't hurt me in any way. And that teaches us to be firm, no matter what. Okay, believe with certainty that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the power to harm or benefit others. That is what Tawheed teaches us. He is the only one who can harm or benefit. So no matter who threatens us, we should remember that we can only be harmed by the permission of Allah, if He allows it to happen. وَسِيَ رَبِّي كُلَّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا. The knowledge of my Lord encompasses everything. His ilm, his knowledge, encompasses everything. أَفَلَا تَتَذَكَّرُونَ. Why don't you get admonition? Why don't you all take heed? Allahu Akbar. وَكَيْفَ أَخَافُ مَا أَشْرَكْتُمْ. And how should I fear your idols? Why should I fear them? This is what Ibrahim alayhi salam is saying. وَلَا تَخَافُونَ أَنَّكُمْ أَشْرَكْتُمْ بِاللَّهِ. When you're not even afraid of your actions, when you make partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَا لَمْ يُنَزِلْ بِهِ عَلَيْكُمْ سُلْطَانًا. For which He has not given you any sanction, any authority. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not sent any proof of shirk. And He sent no messengers who invited people to commit shirk. None of them did. All the messengers connected people to Allah. They did not even connect people to themselves. So they never encouraged people to equate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we look around in the universe, there is no proof of shirk anywhere. Nothing in nature tells us that there's more than one God who rules, right? Because everything is in perfect harmony. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told his beloved daughter and his beloved aunt clearly that he would not be able to do anything for them in the hereafter. So he advised them to work and prepare. Okay, prepare for the hereafter. Alright, even though they were the daughter and aunt of the chosen one, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So how can anyone think that someone else has the authority to make decisions, when even Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam cannot make decisions on his own? It's all by the permission of Allah that anybody is able to do anything. Ibrahim alayhi salam said to his people that he would not be afraid of their idols, since he knew he's on the right path. They didn't even fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when they were clearly misguided. Ibrahim alayhi salam had strong logical reasoning skills, and he used those skills to try to stop his people from committing shirk. And a lot of times, people who earn a living in a haram or unlawful way, they think that they wouldn't be able to survive, that they wouldn't be able to make ends meet if they only used halal methods to earn a living. But that is shirk. Just to think that they wouldn't be able to survive if they followed the rules of Allah. Why would He not provide for them when they obey Him? When He's already providing for them when they disobey Him. Now the mushrikeen of Mecca thought this way too. They thought that if they got rid of the idols from there, people wouldn't visit there for Hajj, and they wouldn't do tawaf that they meant to do there, right? So they didn't think they'd be able to survive there if they took out the idols that they believed in. And if they believed in only one God, got rid of all the idols, like how would they survive? How would they make a living? All the earnings they had from the people who visited the Kaaba, like they thought they would lose all that. They just wanted people to respect them too. But they should have thought that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided for them even when they are following batil or false ways. Right? They were still respected because people thought, oh, these are the people who take care of the Kaaba, who live here. So of course He would have provided for them and honored them if they turned to the haqq, to the right way. This is why Ibrahim alayhi salam said to his people that he did not need to be afraid. Because they weren't even afraid of upsetting Allah. فَأَيُّ الْفَرِيقَيْنِ أَحَقُّ بِالْأَمْنِ. Then which one from the two parties of us deserves to feel secure? This is what Ibrahim alayhi salam asked them. About which group out of the two deserves to be protected against the punishment of the hereafter? The one that commits shirk or the one that follows the haqq? So he asked, do you deserve to be more at peace and safe from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? or me. إن كنتم تعلمون. If you know the truth. If you have any ilm. This is what Ibrahim alayhi salam asked them. Okay, he wanted them to tell him. He was the one following Tawheed. And he believed in only one, Allah. The one who created everything and owns everything. And he runs the whole universe. On the other hand, the others were servants to others who couldn't even do anything to protect themselves. Right? They were the servants. They served others and they couldn't do anything to even protect themselves. The idols they worshipped could not do anything. So who would be at peace and safe? Him? When he worshipped Allah, or them? When they worshipped them, those who couldn't even defend themselves? The answer to this is in the next ayah. Some people say that ayah 82 coming up is a continuation of what Ibrahim alayhi salam said here. But others say that this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Alladhina amanu, those who believe. وَلَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِيمَانَهُمْ بِذُلْمٍ. And they didn't taint their faith with wrongdoings. They didn't mix their belief with injustice. They didn't mess it up. أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الْأَمْنَ. Those are the ones who will feel more secure. وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. And they will be better guided. They are the ones who obtain guidance. There's something very deep in this ayah that we should understand. And that is, sometimes people who have iman commit shirk too. People who believe can commit shirk. So we can't claim that we don't do shirk ever because we are Muslims and we believe. Because this ayah says clearly that those who believe and don't mix their belief with zulm will be at peace on the day of judgment. And what does zulm mean here? It means shirk, which is associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even injustice that's done to ourselves, when we sin, we are being unjust to ourselves. We do zulm ourselves. That's why we say, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. Oh, our Lord, we have wronged ourselves. We have done zulm to ourselves, right? That's a dua. And then we ask Him to forgive us, right? So that's how we do zulm towards ourselves. And then there's justice that's done towards others. That's called zulm too. There's injustice, sorry, that's done towards others. And that is zulm, being unjust to others. But in this ayah, zulm refers to shirk. When the Sahaba heard this ayah, they were really stressed. They thought it meant that only people who don't do zulm by disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after having believed will be secure on the day of judgment. So they became so worried because none of us is perfect, right? We all make mistakes and we all have faults. So it would be impossible to never, ever mess up. So they were really concerned when they heard this ayah, right? Because they thought that it means that they never do zulm after having believed. But then Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained that the word zulm in this ayah does not just mean any sins. Instead, it means the zulm-e-azim, which is the greatest injustice of all. Okay, and that is shirk. To associate partners with Allah. Then Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned an ayah from Surah Luqman, in which Luqman alayhi salam had said to his son, O son, inna shirka la zulmun azim. Indeed, shirk is the greatest zulm. So he explained that zulm does not just mean to make small mistakes that people make. Or our faults, okay? It doesn't refer to the small mistakes we make or our faults. Zulm in this ayah means to have mixed shirk with iman. And we see this with Muslims sometimes, don't we? They claim to be believers, but then they're committing shirk as well. They clothe or confuse the shirk they're doing with iman. They cover up that injustice with their iman. And they do it in such a way that it becomes hard to differentiate between the right and the wrong. But we all need to be very careful and remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept iman that is mixed with falsehood. We all like pure things for ourselves. So why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept iman that is mixed with falsehood or injustice? He would only accept tawheed. Okay? So he will only accept iman that has no shirk in it whatsoever. Anything done with shirk will be rejected. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna Allaha la yaghfiru an yushraka bihi. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive that shirk is done with him. And we have learned this twice already in Surah An-Nisa, that Allah will not forgive people who commit shirk. And that can mean mushrikeen, which is people who fully commit shirk, or those who mix shirk with their iman. So how can someone claim to be Muslim when they act like mushrikeen? We can never mix shirk with iman. Not even a little bit, because it will not be forgiven. Even when we do anything good, we should never do it to be seen by others, because that is shirk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free of need. He does not need us to do anything. When someone does something to show off to others, or to have others praise them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rejects their action. Okay, he does not accept it. He rejects it. He doesn't accept it, and he says to just do it for others then. أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الْأَمْنَ. For them is security on the Day of Judgment. Those who don't mix shirk with their iman after having believed. So iman is very precious. It's really valuable. We should aim to keep our iman pure all throughout our lives and remain steadfast until we die. When we die, we should be in a state of iman, with pure iman, without any falsehood or shirk mixed in it. And in order to do that, we must understand what shirk really is and what it means to be on tawheed, so we actually know what we're doing. Inshallah, we'll learn more about the beloved people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and even they would not have been forgiven if they committed shirk. He says that straight out. So how can we expect to get away with it? So we have to be really careful. Never blindly just follow people. Okay, just don't just follow them and do what they tell you to. Think about it and find out if the action they're calling you to is based on the Quran and Sunnah. Because if it's not, we shouldn't be doing it. Okay, there's a lot of things people do in the name of religion that are not even based in the Quran or Sunnah. So if they're not based on the Quran and Sunnah, then they're not a part of religion. We must keep our iman pure. Shaitan will trick us by telling us that, oh, you're Muslim, so you're going to end up in Jannah no matter what. But if there's any shirk mixed with iman, it will not be accepted. Okay, so how is it possible to end up in Jannah? We have to remember that. And only people who protect their belief without mixing it up with shirk will be secure on the Day of Judgment. They'll be safe on the day when there will be no security. Everyone will be looking for Amn that day. Okay, everyone will want to just save themselves. Even the prophets will be calling out, Nafsi, Nafsi. Right, my soul. They'll be worried about their result when we learn these, and we learned about Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying ummati, right? Because he'd be worried about his ummah, and all the other prophets would be saying nafsi, because that's how tough that day will be. If we want to feel safe on that day, we must stay away from shirk. There are many people who do so much to serve humanity, and they stand up for the rights of animals, and they do so many good deeds. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not accept their deeds if they don't do them exclusively with iman, if they don't do them for Him. If there's any shirk with those acts of goodness, they become worthless. وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ, and they'll be better guided. They will be rightly guided if they keep their iman pure. There are so many important rules about iman and tawheed in the surah. وَتِلْكَ هُجَّتُنَا آتَيْنَاهَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ عَلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ, and this was the argument which we gave Ibrahim alayhislam against his people. This means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who enables people to present reasons and arguments to others. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Ibrahim whatever he said to his people. All the proofs of Tawheed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teach us how to convey the message of Tawheed to others as well. Ameen. نَرْفَعُ دَرَجَاتٍ مَنْ نَشَاءُ. We exalt in ranks whom we please. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exalted Ibrahim alayhi salam in ranks, in degrees. This was a great blessing that Allah bestowed on him. And Inna rabbaka hakeemun aleem. Indeed, your Lord is always all wise, all aware. He knows whose ranks should be exalted. So he mentions the blessings he bestowed on Ibrahim alayhi salam. The first was that he granted him proofs to be able to present against the mushrikeen, to be able to argue with them. And as a result, they were speechless. And this is why they plotted to build a huge fire and throw him into that fire, because they couldn't say anything else in response. They didn't know how to argue with those reasons. So they threatened him and tried to kill him. He said things they couldn't even argue against. So that was the first way he was blessed by Allah. The second way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed Ibrahim alayhi salam was by raising his degrees. He is all wise, and he knows who deserves to have their ranks exalted. All his decisions are based on his wisdom. The third blessing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed on Ibrahim alayhi salam, وَوَهَبْنَا لَهُ إِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ, and we gave him Ishaq and Yaqub. This is what happened after Ibrahim alayhi salam remained firm against the mushrikeen. He was steadfast and he stayed on Tawheed, even though he was all alone against his whole qawm, all of his people. Even Lut alayhi salam believed in him after Ibrahim alayhi salam came out of the fire safely. That was after seeing a great miracle. Before that, there was nobody with him on Tawheed. Out of his whole qawm, he was all alone. Even after he presented clear proofs that others they worshipped couldn't be gods. But he did make them question their beliefs, right? Everyone has been created to believe in Tawheed, naturally. That's within our nature, to worship only one Allah. So Ibrahim alayhi salam made them think about whatever false ways they had been following for a long time. Many people in the past have worshipped idols, one way or another, like a lot of them do today. Whether it's idols that can be seen, or the ones that can't be seen. Or they worship people or things that are either dead or alive. But there have been people in all times who try to call them to haq, to only believe in one Allah and worship Him. It's people who have sound judgment and follow what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has programmed them to do, naturally. They're the ones who invite others to the right path. When Allah enabled them to show miracles, people rejected them and they claimed that it was done by magic. Okay, they said that they're doing magic. Allahu Akbar. There's always been people on haq, which is the truth, and they stand against the batil or falsehood firm. This will continue until the end of time. It's going to keep happening. Ibrahim alayhi salam was granted Ishaq alayhi salam and Yaqub alayhi salam after he went through so much trouble to stand up for Tawheed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested him in so many ways. He was expelled from his homeland, his country. He had to leave behind his family and all his relatives. He made all these sacrifices in the way of Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not deprive him of blessings after the great sacrifices he made. He was not going to deprive him in any way. He granted Ibrahim alayhi salam so many blessings in this life and in the hereafter. And this teaches us a lesson that we should never think that we're going to lose in any way if we give up anything in the way of Allah. He values our sacrifices. And he rewards us with even better things in place of whatever is lost. Subhanallah. Ibrahim alayhi salam was given good news of a son in old age, when people are normally too old to even have kids. And he was told that his son would be a prophet. And not only that, he was also given good news of his grandson, a pious person, who had been chosen to be a prophet too. What could be better than that? Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewarded him by only choosing prophets from among the offspring of Ibrahim alayhi salam afterwards. No prophets were sent from out of his offspring. They were all from his kids. That was such an honor for him. And Ibrahim alayhi salam is respected among people from all religions. The Christians and the Jews respect him so much as well. They look up to him. And nobody remembers the people who stood up against him, committed shirk, and tried to burn him in the fire they built. Nobody remembers or talks about him. Right? Because nobody wants to know about him. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions Ibrahim alayhi salam honorably in the Quran because he remained firm on Tawheed. And people will continue reading the Quran till the end of time. So Ibrahim alayhi salam's name will continue to be mentioned till then. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam also sacrificed so much in the way of Allah. And he was exalted in ranks too, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exalted his mention, subhanallah. And he said straight out in an ayah too, وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. And we have exalted your mention, subhanAllah. That means that we should never feel a tightness in our chest when we have to sacrifice anything in the way of Allah. Okay, we shouldn't be troubled by it. He will reward you with even better. So don't hesitate. Trust him. And think that you haven't done much at all when you do anything in his way. It's nothing compared to everything he deserves, that he has a right over. Remember that he will value it so much if it's done with sincerity, if it's done sincerely with sincerity, and he will shower many more blessings on you. Kullan hadayna, we guided all of them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided them all. Ibrahim alayhi salam, Ishaq alayhi salam, Yaqub alayhi salam, all of them. وَنُوحًا هَدَيْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِ. And we guided Nuh alayhi salam before them. Nuh alayhi salam was guided by Allah even before Ibrahim alayhi salam. وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِهِ. And from his descendants. Some say this is about the descendants of Nuh alayhi salam, since he was mentioned right before in this ayah. And others say it's about the descendants of Ibrahim alayhi salam, because we had been learning about him all along, right? Throughout the past few ayat But more people agree that this is about Ibrahim alayhi salam's offspring when we say وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِهِ, because the rest of the prophets mentioned are all from his offspring. وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِهِ, and from his offspring دَاوُودَ وَسُلَيْمَانَ وَأَيُّوبَ وَيُوسُفَ وَمُوسَى وَهَارُونَ, Dawood alayhi salam, and Sulaiman alayhi salam, and Ayyub alayhi salam, and Musa alayhi salam, and Harun alayhi salam. They were all great honorable messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided them all, and they were all from among the offspring of Ibrahim alayhi salam. وَكَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ, and likewise we reward those who do utmost good. Muhsineen are people who do more than just justice. They are not just fair, they don't just do justice, they do a lot more than what's necessary. They don't just do the bare minimum. Imagine someone who prays the nafl prayers, not just the fard prayers. That person is muhsin when it comes to his prayers. A muhsin is somebody who does everything beautifully to the level of excellence. That's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewarded Ibrahim alayhi salam for leaving his people and going through so many tests in life. He faced so many tests for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He passed all the tests. And as a result, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started off a whole chain of prophets from among his offspring. Subhanallah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم آمين يا رب العالمين جزاكم الله خيرا كثيرا Inshallah, you will all receive the recordings of Tajweed in your groups very soon. جزاكم الله خيرا كثيرا السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.